Now, someone brought up a little correction for me, which was true when I said Jesus was the first raised from the dead. That's not true. He was the first raised from the dead to eternal life. Okay? Yes. Now, let's also understand something concerning keeping the feast that's important to remember, which is this. Galatians 3 says, "And if you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." Okay? That's why Jesus said, go into all the world, because it's for all nations to be preached to, but only those who repent and are baptized in become the spiritual Israel of God, regardless of the nation in which they were born. Okay? So that's why it says, there's neither male nor female, free or bond, barbarian or Scythian. See, but all are one in Christ for the blessings of eternal life if we are part of the church of the firstborn. See? Now here's another thing to understand concerning the Passover with Israel. Though all Israel kept the Passover, who were the ones that were saved? The firstborn, right? Okay. Likewise, with us today, with a little bit different caveat, the Passover spiritually is only for those who have the Spirit of God and hence are spiritual members of the Church of God. See, the corporate church has no jurisdiction or definition, rather, over the spiritual church of God. The corporate church of God, whatever the corporation may be, is only for doing business in the world. See? God has many people we don't know anything about. We find out about them every once in a while when they contact us. I just got a phone call from a man in Romania. And he wants to translate the Bible into Romanian. So I said, tell me a little about yourself. Hey? So he's going to send me some information about himself. We have a man, Sergei Loganov. Is that the correct pronunciation? Loganov? Yeah, Loganov. OB is Ukrainian. OFF is Russian. Yeah, he's OV. Yeah, Loganov. Okay. He has translated the whole Cold Holiday, God's Holy Day book into Russian. We have the Bible translated into Ethiopic. So whatever God wants and works out, we'll go with that. Now, how that came about that he called was, a man back in Pennsylvania who'd been in the church for many years and always attends when I come back to Cincinnati, he met a whole group of people. No, he met a husband and wife close to where he lives that are from Romania. And he said there's a whole group of people they know of in Romania that after they saw the Bible, they wanted us to send some to them. So I said, okay, we'll send them to you, and you send them to them, because I think it would be easier coming into Romania if you had your return address on it rather than ours, because we've sent stuff to Yugoslavia, and it never gets through, especially if it goes to Croatia. Boy, the Catholics, man, they cut that off, you know, like you're living hell. Okay, one announcement. April 2nd, we're going to meet here again, okay? April 2nd, that's the day after the Atheist Day. You heard that story? Atheist came into court and was suing because the atheist didn't have any day on the calendar. And he got up to the judge, and the judge said, "Why, yes, you have a day, officially. What day is that?" "April 1st, because the Bible says, he who says there is no God is a fool." So April Fool's Day is the atheist day. Oh, well, you know. Okay, now let's come to Mark 14 and follow along here. And we are going to see something very interesting concerning the Passover day. Okay? Now, as you're turning there, when were they to kill the Passover lambs according to Exodus 12? Bain Ha'ar Ba'im, right after sundown. And they would do it probably right away, right after sundown. And then they would roast the lamb and have it ready. So by time nighttime came, they were ready to eat the Passover. Okay. This also verifies in the New Testament that the Passover is an unleavened bread day. Okay. Now the King James has it all messed up here, because they say, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when they killed the Passover. See, that mixes it all up. So we're going to start advertising the Bible. Finally, after 400 years, the errors of the King James Version have been corrected. And that's a major doctrinal one, isn't it? Because you read the Old Testament and you understand that the 14th is the Passover day one day, and the 15th day is the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Then you get to the New Testament and it says on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread when they killed the Passover lamb. And you think, how can that be? It's a mistranslation. That's how it can be. Okay? Now, let's read it here. Anybody have a King James Version here today? Okay. Verse 12. I'll read it to you with a literal translation. Now, on the first day of the unleavened, that is a literal translation from the Greek, okay? Which tells you what? The Passover day is an unleavened bread day, right? See, let's continue on here. Now notice this, is a literal translation. When they were killing. And in the Greek, that is present tense participle. Meaning that right while when this was occurring, there were Passover lambs being killed. Which means it was what? Right after sundown, right? Because you're not to kill them until after sundown, because sundown is by Erev, and you're to kill them, Bain Ha'ar Ba'im. And again, I'm going to tell you, read the book. Okay? All right. Now let me read the whole thing together. And on the first day of the unleavens, when they were killing the Passover lambs, that has to be the Passover day as its beginning, the disciples said to him, "Where do you desire that we go and prepare that you may eat your Last Supper?" No, it says Passover. Question, Jesus being God in the flesh, would he keep it at any other time than when he commanded in the Old Testament? No. Would he adhere to any of the traditions of the Jews? No. Okay? Now, let's also understand something here as we go on. Verse 13. And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and you shall meet a man carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him." Where were they? They were outside the city. Were they anywhere near the temple? Well, they may have been able to see the wall, but you see, temple killed Passover lambs, were not done till the next afternoon. See? So what were they observing? What else does this tell us? Okay? Verse 14. And whatever house he shall enter, say to the master of the house that the teacher says. What does this tell us? This tells us they kept a domestic Passover in a house. Where was the lamb? Where were the lambs being killed? Wherever there was a house where they were preparing for the Passover meal. They did not have to take them to the temple to be killed at the temple. They could do it right at their homes. That was the only sacrifice they could do. Right? What were they to do with the blood? Put some on the side post and one on the upper lintel. Correct? Okay. So went into a house. Say, the teacher says, where's the guest chamber where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? Now you go through and you will see they mention, I think it is 18 times, the Passover, the Passover, the Passover, the Passover. What did Jesus eat? The Passover. Not a supper before. Not a pre-Passover Passover. You know, do this. Invite all your family over on Wednesday. And you have a big Thanksgiving dinner. And you say, what are you doing? Well, I'm keeping Thanksgiving. Well, that's tomorrow. Well, no, they don't know how to count. I'm doing it on Wednesday. Well, you would be fit for what? Psychological examination. Okay? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and ready there, prepare for us. What do you suppose was furnished and ready? Did Jesus have a lamb? No. Did the disciples have a lamb? No. Who do you suppose had the lamb and killed it and was getting it ready? Master of the house, correct? Yes. Now, knowing how God does things, now this is my opinion, so I'll ring the bell. Okay. There were 12 disciples, correct? Plus Jesus. Judas left, and then that left 12 altogether. I believe that they had a lamb that was older than 8 days old, but nowhere near a year old. Let's just say, okay, this was on April 5th when the Passover day was here at the time of Jesus' ministry, when he took his last Passover. Okay. How old must an animal be before it can be used for a sacrifice? 8 days. All right. So this must have been a minimum of 8 days, but probably no more than 2 or 3 weeks. Now, a lamb that size, and we actually did this, and you'll read it in the Passover book. How long does it take to skin and clean a lamb and get it ready to roast? You can do it in 20 minutes. We had a man who raised goats and lambs, so being in the church, we said, okay, let's get a stopwatch, and we're going to time this. And we watched him kill him. Cut the throat, hung him up, cut him right down the middle. All of the innards come out in the envelope that they are in. Everything right there. Then you cut out the genitals, and then you take the rest of it out. And then I was surprised how quickly they could skin it. It blew me away. Here is the cut along the belly, and he just took his knife, made a little cut like this, big enough for his hand to go in on both sides, and then he went down like that. That loosed all the skin, and then he went poop, 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 all around the animal and had that skin off in less than 5 minutes. Blew me away. But to have it all ready is 20 minutes. Now, a small lamb that's roasted over a fire, how big would a small lamb be? Well, what? 12 pounds, all skinned out and ready to go. Now, if you have the fire going, because it was all prepared, they were already roasting the lamb by the time the disciples got there. So what did they have to do to finish preparing? Lay out the unleavened bread for everybody, make sure that the bitter herbs were there, and whatever else they needed, that the wine was there, etc. Okay, so it was ready to go. Now, let's continue on verse 16 here. And his disciples went away, and when they came into the city, they found it exactly as he had said to them, and they prepared the Passover. And after evening had come, okay, now, after evening had come, when you have between the two evenings, what is the first evening? Right when the sun goes down, right? What is the second evening? When it's dark. When did Jesus and the disciples take the Passover? Right at sundown? No, they took it when it was dark. So the Passover should start sometime after sundown so that by time you get to the bread and wine, it's dark. Okay? And so then we go through with what he had here. He had the bread, he had the wine. Let's come back here to 1 Corinthians 11. Now, we're also going to find another problem in 1 Corinthians 11. And I do not know, 1 Corinthians 11, the 11th chapter. All right. 1 Corinthians 11, let's begin in verse 17. And let's answer the question, should the Passover be called the Lord's Supper? Answer, no. Should it be called communion? The answer is no. Okay. What is Jesus Christ? For Jesus Christ, our Passover was sacrificed for us. So it's the Passover. Now let's see what Paul wrote here. Let's understand they had some very strong contentions there in the church at Corinth. And let's see what they are. Verse 17. Now, in this, I'm not commending you. I do not praise you, because when you assemble together, it is not for the better, but for the worse. Have you ever done that? Have you ever come to a church service or anything, and it turned out to be just a bleh, you know? You came all inspired, ready for everything to be good, and you go home, oh, I'm in a bad attitude. Why should I go to church and get in a bad attitude? You know, you're not to come to church to get a bad attitude. You're come to church to get rid of a bad attitude. You come to church to be inspired, right? Yes. So here they had the same thing there. For first of all, I hear that there are divisions among you when you are assembled together in the church, and I partly believe it, for it is necessary that heresies be among you, so that the ones who are approved may become manifest among you. In other words, there are going to be heresies come along, so you know who's telling the truth and who is not telling the truth, because what is our responsibility to do in everything that we have concerning the Bible and what we do? Prove all things. Yes, search it out. Prove all things. And in searching it out, you search for what? All the facts. Never base things on opinions unless you have a cowbell. Okay, let's go along here. Now, verse 20. Therefore, when you assemble together in one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, I don't know how anything can be more clear than that. Let's have the Lord's Supper. It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. Now, let me tell you something about the Greek. The Greek has the strongest negation in the word ou or ouk, which means the impossibility of what follows. So it's impossible to eat the Lord's Supper. Why? because he ate it some 20 years before. Okay? Number two, we are not to call it the Lord's Supper, because as we've seen in the Gospels, it is the Passover. Right? Yes. Now, why did Jesus and the disciples eat a meal at that Passover services, but Paul tells us we are not to eat a meal? Because Jesus had to finish the Old Covenant Passover first, to end it, before he could begin the New Covenant Passover. Okay? That's why. Now let's notice something here concerning eating. Therefore, when you are assembled together into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone takes his own supper first. Now on the one hand, someone goes hungry, but on the other hand, another one becomes drunken. What? Exclamation point. He's very emphatic here. Don't you have houses for eating and drinking? Or do you despise the church of God and put those to shame who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not. All right? Come down here to verse 34. If anyone is hungry, let him eat at home. Obviously, before you come to Passover services, so that there be no cause for judgment when you assemble together. Okay? So there's a direct command by the Apostle Paul. We are not to have a meal associated with keeping the New Covenant Passover. Jesus and the disciples had to finish the Old Covenant Passover. But what do we keep? We keep the foot washing because Jesus said, "This do." We eat the unleavened bread because he said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you." We drink the wine because that pictures his blood. And someone always says, why does it say fruit of the vine, but it doesn't say wine? Okay, the answer is this. That is the only way that they could have grape juice was in wine. In the spring, are there ripe grapes ready to grow? No. Are they ready to be harvested so you can have grape juice? No. When are grapes ripe? In the fall. Now, you either have to make it into wine, and if you make grape juice, what do you do with it? You must pasteurize it, and you must hermetically seal it so no air gets into it, right? Because it has yeast in it, and it will naturally ferment. But what happens when it naturally ferments? And you have wine. Now, Dolores and I tried to make our own wine one time, and we had a real nice, good batch of the strongest, bitterest vinegar you ever wanted. What happens when it's fully fermented? And fermentation is leaven, correct? You agree to that? Okay. What happens? All the fermentation is gone, and there is no leaven in the wine. Now, if you want to have champagne, you know what they do to make it bubbly? They put back in a little bit of yeast. Okay? So, wine is unleavened, picturing the sinless blood of Jesus Christ. Right? If you drink grape juice, now if you're an alcoholic and you have vowed to God you will not drink, then you take grape juice. But if you're not, you drink the wine because that pictures the unleavened blood of Christ. All right, let's go on. A couple of other things we have to deal with here. Now you're getting an idea why the Passover book is so thick. Listen, brethren, there are so many schemes out there to try and take away people from God through changing the Passover. See? Because if you get the Passover wrong, and you look at all of those who got the Passover wrong, how long did it take for them to have other heretical doctrines that they brought in and now are no longer with us. See, need to think about that. All right, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the night, or that the Lord Jesus, in the night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And after giving thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body. Now notice this next phrase, because I hear there's even a minister somewhere writing a paper on why we shouldn't refer to the body of Jesus Christ as his broken body. Okay? I don't know how they can do that. I wonder what Bible he has. Okay? This is my body, which is being broken for you. Now that is the literal translation. This is the present tense passive, is being broken for you. So the beating that Jesus took applies to our lives every year as if the event just took place, because it's forever, isn't it? Was it not determined from the foundation of the world that the Lamb of God would die? Slain from the foundation of the world? Yes. See, so all of these things come together. See, brethren, it's a fantastic thing, the way that the Bible comes together. It's just absolutely marvelous. Verse 25. In like manner, he also took the cup after he had supped, saying, this is the cup of the new covenant, not testament, covenant. The word diatheke should be covenant. Now, I covered that in a sermon you'll be getting here pretty shortly. Okay? In my blood. See, so this defines back where we started in John the 6th chapter. You eat his flesh and drink his blood, correct? It's the bread and it's the wine. Okay? This do, now notice this phrase, as often as you drink it. People look at that and say, wow, as many times as you desire. See, the mass is taken what? 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 in the morning? Taken every day? As often as you drink it? Is that what that means? All right. Let me explain to you something you'll find in the Passover book. There is a two-letter Greek participle spelled A-N, alpha nu, and pronounced on. And this untranslated particle means there are limiting factors to the phrase as often as. Okay? You don't get that in the English. It is untranslatable because you would have to so add so many words to it. Okay, but right here, there are limiting factors as to when you should take it. What is the first limiting factor? The night in which Jesus was betrayed, correct? There's only one night. Okay? For often as you drink it, in the remembrance. Now, the remembrance in the Greek means in the memorial, and a memorial is a yearly thing. So that is the second limiting factor. The day in which he ate it, and then in the remembrance. It is not a remembrance, because you can remember the Lord at any time, right? But it is the remembrance concerning the Passover that he was instructing the apostles to keep. And it was picturing the crucifixion and the death which he alone experienced. Okay? Verse 26, for as often as you eat this bread, again the untranslatable on is there, and drink this cup, you solemnly proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes. So what is the other limiting factor? Until he comes. Now they were thinking, when he wrote this, that Jesus would return in their lifetimes. Have we thought of that? Yes. Okay. So you have that. limiting factor until he comes. That means from the time that he instituted until he comes. And what did Jesus say when he kept that last Passover? He said, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until I take it anew with you in the kingdom. Okay? Now, does that help clarify some things for you concerning the Passover? See, so this also helps us to understand when we go through and read things in the Bible, we need to also bring other factors that clarify it from other parts of the Bible so that we get the correct understanding. Otherwise, we end up with opinions, and opinions don't count. Beliefs based on opinions may or may not be valid. I mean, look, how many of us thought we would be in the kingdom of God by now? Almost everyone here could raise your hand, right? Yes, but we aren't there. You know, I don't know if you did like Dolores and I. We looked at each other right after we were married and said, isn't it wonderful we're not going to get old? One thing we don't say, isn't it wonderful that we are old? Creak, creak, creak. Okay. Now, verse 27, and we'll finish with this, okay? For this reason, if anyone shall eat this bread and shall drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, if you don't take it on the night and in the manner with the unleavened bread and with the wine, or if you eat it with a meal, you are taking it unworthily. He shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup accordingly. Because the one who eats and drinks unworthily is eating and drinking judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord, the body of the Lord. Okay. The only place it says that if we don't do something exactly correctly, we're eating and drinking judgment to ourselves. Doesn't say that of unleavened bread, doesn't say that of Pentecost or trumpets or atonement or tabernacles or the last great day. Because right here, as we saw at the end, said, you eat at home before you come together. Okay, for this very reason, many are weak and sickly among you, and many have fallen asleep. And I do believe, brethren, that a lot of our sicknesses and diseases and things that we have is because we haven't seriously taken the things of what we have been given by God to heart in the way that we ought to, you see. Now, that's not to say that someone who is sick necessarily is condemned of God. That is not so. We all come to a point that we're going to give up the ghost. So we need to realize that. And with that comes things that debilitate the body. But here he's probably talking about those who are younger, not the elderly in this particular case. Okay? But we've had too much sickness in the church, haven't we? I think a lot of it comes from stress. A lot of it comes from fear. A lot of it comes from being ruled over by men instead of being ruled over by Christ. You know, because you can cause all kinds, they know now, you can cause all kinds of sickness and disease just out of worry and emotion and frustration and bitterness and things. That's why I've done the sermons on, you know, the washing of the water by the word. See, we need to every day come to God and let it clean us, help us, guide us, direct us, you see. Now when we come to the Passover, this is our guarantee of eternal life. Because Jesus said, if you eat my flesh and drink my blood, now we know in a manner that's worthy, as he has said, we have eternal life. That is the new covenant. That's why we're called. That's why we're here. For our overseas offices, please check our website, www.cbcg.org.